This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So the great David Dusick joins us now from Northern Cali at Pebble Beach at the 119th U.S. Open. And we love the majors. Great golf today. I was watching the whole thing. I just think it's so kick-ass. And the fact that I'm watching golf at like 10, 11 o'clock at night and they're still playing is just phenomenal. And it's going to be that way all weekend. How about that round that Gary Woodland put together, David? And I got to tell you, that putt on the last hole, that 75-footer, whatever it was, that was just sickening.
He was absolutely out of his head, Scotty. It was a great day. You know, yesterday Justin Rose shot 65, but it was a day when a lot of guys took it deep. And, you know, U.S. Open scoring conditions, we weren't expecting it to be quite as good on Thursday as when Rose went out there. But Woodland went out, and his 65 to me is more impressive because scoring conditions were tough. There were some guys who were able to put together some good rounds, but it was harder. The wind was up a little bit more. I can tell you from being out on the golf course, it was chillier out there. The ball just really wasn't moving all that well. And he putted absolutely lights out. You know, it's one of the things that you have to end up doing if you really want to play good golf and win a U.S. Open. And you saw him hitting putts, which has always been his Achilles heel. He's always been really, you know, strong guy, big off the tee, good with his iron play. But the putter is you know, really his downfall most of the time. And today it certainly wasn't, and you bring it up. You know, he finished really strong. He banked a couple of birdies. We have no idea what we're going to get weather-wise, if it's going to continue to get a little tougher and a little tougher. But at 9 under par, 68-65 is really macho stuff from Woodland for the first two rounds.
So how about the guy Enoch, who went from 78 to a 66, and he made the cut. He was like the last guy or something to make the cut. But you got to be kidding me, from a 78 to a 66, a 5 under round, that's a hell of an effort by that dude.
It's great. You know, I mean, a lot of guys end up getting on the wrong side of the draw, or they, you know, just get a little bit of the willies, and this is obviously his first U.S. Open, and it's hard. And there are a lot of guys who are good players. If you were to see them at your local club, and you'd be like, oh my God, this guy is a total stud, and they just turn into just tapioca out there. They can't keep it together under these kind of conditions. When you're watching guys like Woodland and guys out there like Louis Oosthuizen today and some of the other ones who are putting together good rounds, and they make it look easy. It's not. It's really not. The conditions were really challenging. The golf course is challenging. There's pressure, especially on Friday when guys are trying to make the cut or put themselves in a position so that they can stay in contention. And some guys, it's just getting to the weekend. It's just the goal for them isn't necessarily to win the golf tournament. It's just to see if they can play four rounds in a major championship that they went through qualifying to get to, and there he is.
How about Fowler's meltdown? What do you have, five bogeys and a double?
Fowler did not look good today. You know, I hung out a lot today on 17 green, and I saw him coming through, and he had that look like he was trying to hold it together. He was trying to sort of like go back to his experience and really just maintain composure. And I think he did that, but the game was just loose, where everything looked really good and easy yesterday, where he's hitting fairways, hitting greens. He was not doing that today. You know, really struggling to sort of maintain his game, his composure. It's hard, Scott, and you and I have talked about this before, to put four really good rounds together. So far, Gary Woodland, in my opinion, has got two, you know, one really good round, one great round, one that's special. But it's going to be something for him to come back and back that up tomorrow. This could have been Fowler's hiccup kind of a round. If he's able to right the ship and put together something, he can move back up. Because I just don't think that there's going to be anybody who's going to go out there and shoot multiple 65s or a 65 and a 66 in some kind of combination with a couple other ones. It's just too challenging. It's just too challenging out there. So I think that if this were the hiccup round for Fowler, you know, he's made the cut. If you've made the cut at a U.S. Open, you've got a chance. But he's got some work to do on Saturday for sure.
Let me just say, from my end, he's finished. You cannot shoot a six over and not go to bed having nightmares and flashbacks and cold sweats when you drop a 77. That's Pharrell type numbers. I mean, that's terrible. He's not going to recover from that. Let's go to Phil's round. Was bizarre. How crazy good was this? The ugliness of like four bogeys, but then six birdies. He was all over the place, but it was so exciting watching him play, and everybody's getting behind him. That's for sure.
Mickelson is always exciting. You know, when he crashes and burns and shoots 75 or 76, it's exciting. He does give you a show. When he's got it together and he's playing some good golf and all of a sudden some putts start falling, some of those crazy shots, you know, a bird grabs the ball, he ends up getting it back, makes birdie on it. Of course, that's a totally Phil move. Some real questions with strategy off the tee, and then all of a sudden, you know, on 14, he's hitting drives, and he's going to the rough, he's able to come back, and he's all over the place. And that's the way that he's always played. That's the way that he's just not afraid to do it. He's in the Hall of Fame at this point. He wants to win this tournament badly. You know, I don't know that it's going to be necessarily his year. I still, you know, I told you a couple days ago when we were previewing this, I'm not a believer in Mickelson over the course of four rounds. I'm still not. But Phil Mickelson is one of those people that has been able to create roars out there. And I don't know if it's because people are chilly, because it's Northern Cali and they're all laid back, but there haven't been a lot of roars out there on the golf course. I can tell you I've spent a lot of time on Pebble Beach over the last 2 days with fans who are watching the golf, and it's not like, and maybe this isn't a fair comparison, when we're at Augusta National, you hear cheers and roars all over the place. Things are happening left, right, and center. U.S. Opens aren't like that. U.S. Opens drain the energy and drain the juice out of the players. And to some degree, I wonder if it's happening to the fans as well, because they just, I haven't been hearing it. I haven't felt the buzz going yet. Now, we'll see what happens on the weekend when all of a sudden it starts to really matter and the chips are sort of getting pushed in the middle of the table. But Phil Mickelson is one of those guys who can create some of that. And some of the shots that he hits, just people are just in awe of it. And he's always a great show.
So David Dusick of Golfing with us. DJ had a nice 69 today, and he had about four birdies, a couple bogeys. But I thought he played really well after, you know, the 3-4 stumble. And then from that point in, what does he got to do to make up the seven strokes and be there on Sunday? Because I think his game is right there knocking on the door.
He's got to putt better. You know, it's one of those things where, like, he's hitting his irons so well, Scotty, but he's getting absolutely nothing out of his short game, and his putter's killing him. He could have had two or three more birdies easily today. He's making nothing short. The 4 to 8 foot range at this point is killing him. Right now there's a stat that we look at to measure how well somebody's putting. It's called strokes gained putting. And basically, if you have a number that's positive, that means that you're somebody who's better than the field. You're gaining strokes. You're putting really well. If you're negative, you're losing them. Right now, he's giving up more than 1.1 strokes for every 18 holes out there. He's giving away strokes on the greens. He's got to stop that. You cannot win a U.S. Open if you can't roll in putts.
So of all the Rose, Oosthuizen, and Rory, because those are the three that we know are going to be heavily involved in Saturday and Sunday, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm rooting for Rory. There's just something about his game. I love the way he's playing. I told you that the way he came out of the Canadian was sickening, that Saturday, Sunday, 1500 was sick. So I thought he played, you know, to recover from a double at 14 and go birdie, birdie after that, you know, you got big onions to be able to step and forget about that double. Most Fowler went down the toilet after his bad shots. And then this guy comes back with birdie, birdie. He's the guy I think has a crack.
I think that he is the highest ceiling as far as, like, what kind of good round could he put together. He also has the lowest floor. If Rory goes bad, he could shoot 80 tomorrow. Like, it's going to be a really difficult setup, I think, tomorrow. I'm convinced scoring is going to be challenging on Saturday. It always is at the U.S. Open. And Rory has a propensity every once in a while to throw in some big numbers. All of a sudden, a triple or a quad comes in. He can get down on himself. He is also somebody who can throw five birdies together and absolutely throw lightning at the field. And I think that Rosie is going to keep plodding along and doing his thing. I look for him to shoot, you know, 69 or 70, a couple under par, and just sort of stay the course. That's the way that he goes. Louis Oosthuizen is another guy who a lot of times just flies under the radar, and you're looking like, oh, he shot 66, 70 in his solo third right now. Yeah, that's the way he goes. But if you're looking for somebody to really make a jump, Rory McIlroy at 5 under par, 4 shots behind Woodland, he is the guy that I think could go out and get himself a really good number tomorrow. But I worry also that he is the potentially the guy amongst the three you just mentioned who could shoot a big number and knock himself out.
I can't believe that I saw, I think it was, Louis had six bogeys, and then he had like eight birdies or something like this. And I'm sitting there watching this guy. I mean, he literally, because they had said at one point he's working on his posture. And I thought to myself as I was watching him swing, I go, this guy literally has the most beautiful non-body movement swing I've ever seen. He just literally... I mean, he's almost, it's like a feather. He swings like a feather and does, I mean, there's not all this wild whipping of the golf club and speed and all this torque and all these guys fall, like literally falling over when they go big ball. This guy, it's all about that easy swing. It is beautiful. I can't wait to talk to you on Monday night. David Dusick, enjoy the weekend at Pebble, rounds 3 and 4, Father's Day. For all the marbles, Brooks Koepka's still in it. It's going to be a great U.S. Open this weekend. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Talk to you soon, Scotty. Thanks a lot.
All right, David Dusick of Golf Week.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.